cross, in the cross be my glory. Till my wrap should so shall find rest beyond the river. Yeah, I wanna find rest beyond the river. Oh, rest beyond the river. Amen. Amen. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. Amen. And we are looking at Luke chapter 18. Amen. The Gospel of Luke. This writer, and he says that, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought to always to pray and not to faint. And he, verse 9, spake this parable unto certain which trusteth in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Amen. Two men went up into the temple to pray. And we skip down to verse 13, where he says, God be merciful unto me, a sinner. God be merciful unto me, a sinner. Amen. And we are continuing to talk about a victim of sin, as well as help, I'm a sinner. Amen. Help, I am a sinner, as a subtopic. Amen. So we see here that Dr. Luke writes this letter, this gospel. It is one of the synoptic gospels or similar gospels, meaning it is one of the Matthew, Mark, and Luke, since John starts within the beginning. But he writes this gospel, and Luke is a Gentile. Luke is a medical doctor, and Luke writes this letter to prove to the world that Jesus is a blessing to all of mankind, not just to the Jewish people. So he traces the genealogy of Jesus, unlike Matthew, back to Jews. He traces it all the way back to Adam. Luke is more interested in the common man. Luke is not interested in the religious people. He is concerned about those who feel left out and those who are not Orthodox Jews. And he writes to the common man, and he shares with them about Christ and his coming. In this context, He had just finished talking to them about Christ, the second coming of Christ. And here he talks to them about the importance of prayer. And contextually, both of these are all centered around prayer. And as he writes for them to know that Jesus has a concern that when he comes back, will he find faith on the earth? Will he find persons waiting on him? Waiting is an important term. We got to be willing to wait. And he wants to know, when he comes back, will he find persons, even in verse 8 of chapter 18, who, when the Son of Man cometh, that they will I find people waiting? Waiting is important because it has to do with prayer as well as living. So he writes to them, and he wants them to be, he wants to know if there will be persons waiting, and he wants to know if there will be people who will be persistent in their prayers as well as patient in their praying. Amen. Persistent but yet patient. He's concerned that they would be patient in their prayers. And he says that you know, that it's important. So the aim of our sermon is for us to is for us to, amen, to go to the doctor, amen. Because if you are a victim, then if you've been victimized in any way, some may have to go to the doctor. Others, whether it's a physical doctor or a psychologist, but we would have to go to the doctor. And that's the ultimate message here, is for us to get help being a sinner. Amen. And so he wants them to know that that's what he wants them to do. He makes it plain, as he shares with us here, that we talked about a victim. A victim is a sufferer. A sufferer who has suffered as a result of someone else's actions or beliefs. A sufferer, one who has suffered, amen, as a result of someone else's actions or beliefs. He writes, and he wants them to know that a victim, we need to understand that you can be a victim of sin. He wants us to know, and as we think about a sinner is someone who has missed the mark, is someone who has fallen short of God's glorious standard. Amen. They are we are victims of sin, and so we've fallen short of God's standard. And so he says that, but he also wants us to understand what it means to get help. One who gets help is someone who, really, to help someone is to support someone. It can be to assist someone. To it can be, amen. Amen. It'd be like doing a favor for someone. Amen. Is to give them help. And here he's talking about a parable. A parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Amen. And he talks to them about prayer. These two parables are about prayer. And what I like about it is that he spake this parable unto them to this end, that men ought to always pray and not faint. And what I like about this is the fact that it says that he spake it to this end. And what he's doing is he's telling us why he is giving us the parable before he gives it, before he tells it to us, and therefore we won't have to figure out what he's saying. He tells you what he's fixing to tell you. It's kind of like giving some talking points up front to let you know where I'm going with this, so you won't have to try to figure out what I'm talking about. He says that here's why I'm writing this parable. In verse 1, he says, he says that men ought to always pray and not faint. That's why I'm writing this parable. And we went over the parable in a previous message dealing with the victim of sin. But the thing I want us to understand here is he says, this is why I'm writing this parable, that men ought to always pray and not to faint. Amen. We cannot faint. We cannot give up. God wants us to pray and not faint. Amen. And there were prayers were given in the Bible. And that's important for us to understand, that there were public prayers. Amen. There was private prayers, and they had a pattern of prayer. Amen. There was public prayer. We find where, amen, there was a period where people literally went to the temple to pray. And it was seen when you look at Peter and John in Acts chapter 3, verse 1. It says that Peter and John went up to the temple to pray. Amen. For the express purpose of meeting together to pray. Amen. He says that they went up together to pray. And they went to the temple. That's the place that they went to. Amen. Jesus said in Isaiah 55:6, at the end of that verse, my house shall be called a house of prayer. Same thing mentioned in Matthew 21:13. My house shall be called not a house of singing, not a house even of preaching, not even a house of healing. But he said, if I had one title I would give to my sanctuary, I would want it to be a place where they met simply for the sole purpose of praying. Oh, my brothers and sisters, prayer is important. It's so important that God wanted us to come and to pray. Amen. He wanted us to come and to pray. We find that Frank Stagg, in his book on the book of Acts, says that this is a portrayal of Christian Judaism. Amen. Amen. It is a portrayal of Christian Judaism. Amen. And that's interesting. That's interesting because it means that even after receiving the Holy Spirit and making our bodies temples of the Holy Spirit, they still went to the temple to pray. Amen. And they saw that example in these men who went up to the house, to the temple, to pray. Amen. We know that we should pray. There should be public prayer. Amen. Gatherings, meetings, whatever you want to call it. And it is scriptural and it is biblical, and there was public prayer, there was private prayer. Amen. There was private prayer. They engaged in private prayer. Amen. The psalmist says in Psalms 5 and 3 that my voice shall thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning shall thou hear my voice, and I will look up. Amen. Amen. Still focused. Amen. You're always going up when you're praying. Amen. We. And so he says that my voice shall thou hear in the morning. And in the morning I will look up. Amen. There was private prayer. Jesus said that in Matthew 6:6, when thou prayest, amen, enter into thy closet. And after you have shut the door, amen, pray to your Father in secret. And thy Father that seeth thee in secret will reward thee openly. In other words, find you a place where you go, amen, a prayer closet. You find you a prayer room, amen. And he says, wherever it is, you go and close the door. This is private prayer. And after you have closed the door, pray to your Father in secret, or your Father who is in secret that you can't see. And your Father who is unseen, your Father who is in secret, shall reward thee openly. Isn't that wonderful? That's mighty that we can go and we can enter into prayer and you won't see God. You won't see him. Because you say your Father who is in secret. And your Father who is in secret gonna reward you publicly, openly. We should go and pray. It is a powerful resource, spiritual resource that we have. Amen. Like the Word of God is a spiritual resource. And God has promised us that when you do that, I'm going to reward you openly. Oh, Lord, have mercy. He says that that's what I want you to do. Amen. There was public prayer. There was private prayer. Amen. But they had a pattern of prayer. Amen. Amen. We find in Psalms 55 and 17, we find that the psalmist says, evening, morning, and noon will I pray to thee. I will cry aloud, and thou shalt hear my voice. That's interesting. Praying out loud. Amen. The private prayer and the psalmist in Psalms 5:3 said, my voice shall I hear in the morning. Let the devil hear your prayer. A lot of folks scared. Amen. They wonder if I can't pray out loud because the devil will hear my prayer and he'll get in and he'll block my. No, let the devil hear it, because that can obligate God even more committed to proving him wrong. So let the devil let it out so that God will reward you in front of the devil. No, don't hide it. Let it out. Be bold enough to say it and not care if the devil hears it. So that God says, you know, he done heard it now. I know I got to go answer their prayer now. My voice shall thou hear in the morning. Amen. In the morning. Amen. Get a quiet time in the morning, O Lord. I will direct my prayer unto thee and look up. Amen. There were patterns of prayer, and that's what we find in Psalms 55:17. And we also find Daniel, you remember Daniel. Daniel in Daniel 6:10. Daniel, this man who came to Babylon as a child, as a teenager, wouldn't eat what they ate, chose to eat vegetarian style. But Daniel went but now Daniel is believed to be about 80 years old. He's been in Babylon now for 66 years. And we find old Daniel still praying. You see, the king had said, if I catch anybody praying, I'm going to throw them in a den of lions. Daniel said, and the Bible says that Daniel, when he knew that the writing was signed, in other words, he knew that once the king signed it, it was law. Everybody had to do it. There were going to be consequences. And the kings in those days were not allowed to take your word back. Once you gave your word, you couldn't take it back. No changing in that. No changes. That portrayed a weak king. So if you just said you're going to do it, you got to do it. Ain't no second guessing. You can't say, oh, I like Daniel, so let him off. No. And so Daniel, we find Daniel going in at 80-year-old man. He says, after Daniel knew Daniel 6:10, that the writing was signed, he says he opened his window toward Jerusalem. Amen, amen, amen. Because God has said anybody praying toward this place going to get their prayer answered. That's why you find Jonah in the belly of the whale still trying to find out where east is. Because he said anybody praying toward. So Daniel was in Babylon, but he was still praying toward the temple. And what did it say? Daniel prayed 3 times a day as he did a 4 times. No changes for Daniel. 80-year-old man, still praying. No changes made. Daniel was committed to praying. He was committed to prayer. I wonder why. I wonder why. What did he know that we don't know?